name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You know, you might say that we live in changing times. And you could go on to even say that from a Christian standpoint, we live in perhaps a discouraging time. You know, where is the culture of our country headed these days? When we look around us, we see things on TV, we see the news, we see more and more how mankind has turned away from God, how they're replacing God's wisdom with man's own reasoning, darkened as it is, for the basis of our culture. And then you begin to wonder, well, you know, what can we do about this? Can anything be done to turn the tide of our country? The culture that's adopting, that's and changing, that drifts further and further apart from God. Well, there is something that we, as Christians, individuals, can do about it. And it's described in our reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians that we read this morning. For you are the temple of the living God. Individually, we may not be able to affect this entire country, but we can affect where we live. We hold fast to the faith that's been delivered to us, and we pass it on. And that's how we survive in any culture. The church has preserved the faith of the apostles down through the ages, and it's gone through many, many adverse cultures over these centuries of time. In our reading from St. Matthew, we see even in Christ's time, there was quite a diverse culture. And yet, even amidst this, we see the faith and humility of a Canaanite woman who's looked down upon in a portion of the culture of that day. As Christ was passing through the region, there was this woman there waiting for him, and she cries out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." And this sounds similar to others who've also cried out to Jesus as he passed by. This time, it was a Canaanite woman. She had a daughter, and this daughter was severely demon-possessed. And she came looking for the Lord's mercy that day. She was a seeker of God's grace. And it's an example to us, a reminder that no matter who we are, no matter what our station in life is, whether we're in a prestigious group or on the fringe, it matters not. Anyone can be a seeker of God. And those who seek God's mercy, if they come in faith, like this Canaanite woman did that day, will find it. Now, because she was a Gentile, what did the disciples at first do? They urged Christ to send her away. Christ himself even initially answered the woman saying, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, Jesus' answer here should not be understood as an insult to her, but as a way to reveal the real treasure of this woman's faith. In this woman can be envisioned the future Gentile church, can be envisioned us, the true Israel coming to Christ. And it's a double reminder, too, of how thankful we, and I'm including myself in this, that came into the Orthodox Church, how thankful that we should be. First, we can be thankful that Christ did come not just to bring salvation to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well, to all of us. And then we who were outside the Orthodox Church can be further thankful that we found the church that guards this faith so diligently, down through the ages, down through the changing cultures. And Christ uses this occasion to show that though he first focused on the Jews, he taught and healed all that came to him. He transcended all distinctions of race and even prejudices. In response to Christ's comment that it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs, this woman responds, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And we see that Jesus' apparent hesitancy brought out her true faith, and we see how she was not discouraged. So let us never be discouraged from seeking God. Let us never let anything stand in the way of coming to Him and asking for His mercy. And in her answer, she even acknowledges that culture of the day, that she is like a dog, and she calls the Jews master. And this is a reminder even to ourselves in a different way that we should never become arrogant. We are Gentiles that have been brought into God's family. And for this, we are eternally grateful. Jesus' response to her was, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be unto you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. One way that we combat the culture in which we find ourselves is to have faith like this woman. To preserve the faith that we have received and pass it down so the next generation can come and see and touch this faith and make it their own. What can we do? It's not so much what we can do as what we can be. Today's culture is not so unlike the culture of the early Christians found themselves in. Yet, we see the lives of the saints, and down through the ages, the lives of the saints have touched and changed the culture, and particularly that first generation changed the culture dramatically for centuries. How did they do that? By what they were. And again, what were they? Listen to our reading from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 16. "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." What an amazing thing that we can be God's people. And he goes on to write, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And this itself is a quote from Isaiah 52:11. We do not need to let this culture, this changing culture, change us. Pull us into its mold. St. Paul goes on to write, "Therefore, having these premises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." We stand apart from anything in today's culture that is ungodly. Why? Because we who were not God's people have become God's people. And God dwells among us in His church, and He walks among us. We are the temple of the living God. This is how we combat today's culture, by simply being faithful to what we are. We're called to be holy, for God is holy, for He is our Father in heaven. We're His sons, His daughters. The way we live our lives, the way we do our work each day, the way we relate to others at work, at home, elsewhere, how we love others as Christ has loved us, it's all based on who we are now. And we must stay who we are and not let today's culture affect that. We can change and affect our culture by preserving and living the faith that has been passed on to us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.